And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Hair and makeup. You know what? I can't hear either. What's this insanity going on? Oh, that's because I didn't plug in my headphones. Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Monday, the 13th day of November, 2017. I just want to welcome everyone to the program tonight. We got a good show for you lined up. We've got the first hour is going to be news and analysis of information I think that you folks need to know, and some hard-hitting analysis of the headlines. And then hours two and three, Joe, we've got Doc coming on from
Dr. David Berman. Doc will be Berman. Our guest.
Yeah.
He's got a very interesting background. He is a pastor. He's also a doctor. He's an author and a radio show host. And we're going to cover a whole host of issues with him, from
Christian persecution,
the Christian church, right? Christianity, everything that's going on here domestically and globally in the Christian world, as well as Islam, the state of the church, what's going on in the political world. And his the book is called Wake Up and Smell the Truth, and we're going to be looking at that as well. And we got a lot of places we're going to get into in this first hour. We got the whole first hour open, and we need it to cover a lot of ground.
I'll tell you, we do.
Go to HagmannReport.com. That is our website. There you will find all the content that is added to the site, as well as content from Peter Barry Chowka. He wrote a few articles and posted them today.
He's on fire.
He is. Both of these articles are about something you talked about on Friday. That is Judge Roy Moore, the accusations against him, and the Sean Hannity interview that he did with Roy Moore on Thursday, I believe, and the call for sponsors to stop advertising with Sean Hannity in order to try to remove him from Fox News.
Sponsor boycott.
And we've seen a lot of things happen this weekend with the Hannity sponsors. Four or five sponsors left his show, one of them being the coffee company Keurig, and there has been a lot of backlash to that. We were talking about this on The Daily Show. Did Media Matters jump the gun?
Media Matters
for a scandal.
That's right.
Hannity's not going to get caught up, I don't believe, in his daily life. You're not going to see him get a DUI or some of these things that other people get in trouble for, and there might not be any real opportunities to try to get him off the air. So my question is, he didn't break any moral lines. He didn't break any legal lines.
You're talking about Judge Roy Moore now, right?
With the interview, right.
Right.
Which Sean Hannity was just interviewing, giving him, as Peter says in one of his articles, the first chance to respond to the attacks. It was his first interview he gave after the accusations came out against him. Hannity interviewed him, and now he's in trouble for doing that and the side he took.
See, and didn't I say this last week? I'm not sure if I said this publicly. I think I did.
You did. You talked about it on air on Friday.
This, okay, and I mentioned it today on, I was with Pat Campbell, KFAQ out of Tulsa, 1170, invited me on this program. So we talked about this out of the gate this morning. And I mentioned this on my morning show. I think it could have been last week, I don't know, but today. This is an attempt to dethrone Sean Hannity as much as it is to remove Judge Roy Moore from the race, from the political race. But you cannot, in my view anyway, Joe, I don't think you can separate the two. The war against Sean Hannity is ratcheting up. And, of course, as you mentioned, behind this war is Media Matters for America. Allegedly, Media Matters for America, I believe. It's my belief. Allegedly. Reportedly. In my view. How's that for, No, seriously, though. And Peter Barry Chaka does get into this, I would urge everyone to read and share on social networking his articles. Sean Hannity Unplugged, embattled Fox News host, opens up in rare interview.
Yeah, that goes to a Jesse Waters show.
Yep.
On Fox News. It's about a 14-minute interview. The link is at the bottom of the article there. And then the other one that Peter did, Sean Hannity is fighting for his survival, details what happened since Friday the 10th of November to up till today, where we have seen a number of advertisers pull their advertising from the Sean Hannity show, including the Keurig coffee company, Realtor.com, 23andMe, Nature's Bounty, all pulled their ads from the television show in response to Fox host Sean Hannity's coverage of the sexual misconduct allegations against Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore.
And to be clear, the advertisers pulling from Sean Hannity have nothing to, this has nothing to do, at least this is my view, it's got nothing to do with the treatment of women, the rape allegations, and they're not even rape allegations, seriously. Or the victimization of women. That has nothing to do with it. This is a proactive attack against Sean Hannity with the intent to take out Sean Hannity.
Right. Take Roy Moore out of the equation.
But this is even less about Roy Moore with respect to what we're talking about as it is Sean Hannity. It's incredible. Now, we've seen this. We felt the same thing happen when we were talking about the homosexual agenda in the shadow, right before the, 2014, 2015, decision, on homosexual marriage. Or was that 2015?
I don't know.
All right. Regardless, whatever year that was, we felt the same thing because one of our sponsors, at that time had filed an amicus brief in favor of homosexual marriage. And we said, look, we can't sponsor, we can't run the ads on our show. So what happened was the ad company that handled that particular company handled two other companies. All three pulled out of our program and left us with a $70,000 a year deficit. Now, that was anticipated income budgeted for the year. All right. So, does it matter? For example, in Sean Hannity's case, yeah, I think it does. But the long and short of it is this is not about the accusations or the victimization of any women. And you've got to understand too, I find the timing of when you talk about Judge Roy Moore now, Joe, I find the timing very suspicious.
Yeah, there
is 38 years. This is, you can't compare this to Juanita Broderick or any Paula, you know.
Paula, well, no, Jones, you can't. Like, and let's look at this real quick. And one thing we got to say is, you know, this Roy Moore situation is in the national spotlight, even though this is a locally, at least by state, election down in Alabama. And this is obviously up to the voters of Alabama, what they're going to do moving forward from here. We also have a new accusation, somebody that Gloria Allred had paraded out into the spotlight. And she says, a woman says Roy Moore tried to rape her when she was 16.
Oh, come
on. And then signed
on
her yearbook. Now, it's an interesting story. There's been a response to it by Roy Moore. He says he's never met this woman. He doesn't remember what restaurant she's talking about, because apparently this lady was a waitress at a restaurant where Moore frequented, and this happened after he offered to give her a ride home, apparently. Now, what we're seeing in the news is a picture of her yearbook that Roy Moore signed 30 years ago in 1977.
Right.
That's 40 years ago.
Yeah, by the way.
Well, what you said, you know, these are 40-year-old accusations, and this is the first accusation of him trying to sexually assault somebody, I guess.
Well, okay, yes. And now you have to ask yourself, this is not a guy suddenly thrust into the national spotlight.
Right.
This is a man who's been in the local, regional, state, and even national spotlight. Remember, he was the guy behind the Ten Commandments issue. Why at the time? Because he stood for such, he took such a moral position at the time. Why weren't these accusations made public at the time? So the timing on this stinks. And, conveniently, I believe conveniently with this. And again, you cannot, I don't believe you can extract the two, Sean Hannity, speaking out. Or Sean Hannity interviewing Judge Roy Moore. Now, that interview to me didn't go well. I spoke with Pat Campbell from KFAQ, and we were talking about that. And I don't think that interview went real well. It would be like if you've ever testified in court, there's a direct examination, and then there's a cross examination. And if you don't do necessarily well in the cross, there's a redirect examination. Sometimes I don't know if you follow what I just said, but so you're brought out on the stand and you give your testimony, you're asked questions, you give your testimony, then the opposing side gets up and does cross examination, and let's just say there's a few issues maybe you stumbled over or aren't clear or whatever, your side goes up and redirects, so. And gives you a chance to rehabilitate your answers. That's the process in a courtroom setting, which I'm familiar with. So what I saw happen was Moore initially not doing well in the initial direct examination. And then, of course, in the redirect, he kind of helped himself. And now, but Sean Hannity's being blamed for giving him softball questions. But here's the thing. And this is something I've noticed, you know, how many times, for example, and Sean Hannity brought this up, I think it was Friday with Richard Jewell, when he, remember the Atlanta bomber, Olympic bomber?
Yeah.
And, of course, everyone blamed Richard Jewell, which wasn't necessarily true, And then the Duke lacrosse players, and how many accusations of actual sexual impropriety and rape have been levied that were not true? Now, that's not to say that believe me, there's in today's environment, there's a lot of and I will never blame the victim ever, okay? And that's not what I'm doing here. But in this case, I think that there's enough reason to ask questions. Why now? Why after all this time now? And then you've got people piling on.
Mm-hmm.
And then for merely asking, for merely interviewing the Judge Roy Moore, Sean Hannity is now in the crosshairs, and everything he's doing is he's being victimized by a campaign of political destruction. So, and this is right. The other thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say this because a lot of people I watched some of the media reactions over the weekend. One of my favorite things to do, not really, is watch media reactions. And for this being a unconfirmed report over 30 years ago of unproven allegations, nobody came out before. This guy's been through 4 elections. You have to take that into consideration. Also, right. People in the media were comparing it to Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein. And you have to make the distinction because, one, forget the person who came out today. It wasn't sexual assault that he was being accused of. Two, he didn't admit to it and then apologize for it. He denied it. And to try to compare what's going on with these people who are, being charged or at least in the court of public opinion for their behavior, as far as sexual assaults go, this is a completely different situation. So for one, you can't lump all these together. At the same time, as you said, you can't blame or point fingers at the victims. You obviously have a question of the timing. Why now? There was also a report by One American News Network that the first allegation against Roy Moore by a reporter at the Washington Post named Beth paid the woman $1,000 to come out and make these accusations. That's being reported
to come out and make the accusations, or to come out and for your reporting, I'll pay you the money.
No, it was not that. And apparently, the lady has a recording of the conversation with the reporter. This was released from her sister or a close family friend who knows the situation. So this lady, Beth, the reporter, approached this woman or basically said, if you say this, we'll pay $1,000
So here's a script, and here's $1,000.
Now, that's about the first allegation, and there's a new one out today where this woman is saying that when she was 16, she worked at a restaurant. She was given a ride home by Roy Moore, and instead of driving her home, he parked her into the back of the restaurant and started groping her.
Okay, yeah, well... So
what do you make of this stuff? I mean, obviously, it's a national discussion. It's about a Senate race in Alabama. So you have the Alabaman voters are, you know, the ones who are going to really make this decision. There was a report out yesterday of a poll showing Roy Moore is still 10 points in the lead. And now you have senators saying they will not.
What's up with Mitch McConnell saying he wouldn't seat the senator? I don't quite understand that. How is that even possible if Moore wins the election? What?
Yeah,
maybe I missed that class in government or civics. How is that possible?
What they're doing is threatening to expel Roy Moore from Senate if he wins the Alabama race. And what they say is the accusations against Moore have thrown the GOP into a crisis, splintering the party and risking defeat in the December 12th special election. On Monday, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, called on Moore to withdraw from the race and said that, "I believe the women. I think he should step aside." Now, he goes on to say he doesn't step aside, that he is going to expel him from the Senate if he is elected.
Okay.
Now, what the article...
Again, how does that work?
Apparently, they are allowed to... they can have state leaders, one, postpone the election or consider a write-in. Also, they say that they have an option where they are allowed to expel him.
Okay.
If the Senate votes, they can, with an overwhelming majority,
okay, expel him. Sort of like an impeachment.
Because he doesn't meet ethical or moral requirements of the U.S. Senate.
Well, this is something that we're going to watch closely, but I think this is more symptomatic of what's going on in America today. And I think that what we're seeing here today is the consequence of a generational assault on our moral and national character. That's all, in my view, this is what we're seeing. And I was looking at some Twitter feeds over the weekend, and, you know, remember when Sean Hannity, now that I'm going back to Sean Hannity, remember when he came out and he was accused of, and I'm not going to even name this, in my personal opinion, this morally repugnant female, I'm not going to name her, but again, this is my personal opinion, who claimed that she was blacklisted from Fox News for not going back to the hotel with Sean Hannity. Now, in fact, she blocked me on Twitter.
This is the same person that brought accusations against
plagiarism
6 months ago and then backed off.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about someone who really, in my personal opinion, is nothing more than an individual who is struggling for relevance, who has been, who, in my personal opinion, has got low self-esteem. And we see this with a lot of, you know, professional victims. Again, this is my opinion now. And it's a shame because this, for a statement, for an individual like that to make a statement, well, I've been blacklisted from Fox News because I wouldn't go back to the hotel with Sean Hannity. And this is the same kind of person who the vulgarity is documented on Twitter, her vulgarity. I believe she's one of the most vile human beings out there. And I believe that she is a sorry excuse, and she's got low self-esteem, she's got esteem issues. This is my personal opinion now, just to be clear, because you know, I can still have an opinion. This is America, right? Okay. So anyway, so those accusations, however, nonetheless stick. And you see, me in this case, and Steve Quayle, for example, look, we're victims in a defamation suit in federal court. All right. Now that's all I can say. But see, the accusations, regardless of how meritless and how frivolous and how ridiculous they are. I'm talking in general now. You still have to fight them. And you still have to fight the stain that it leaves on your reputation. How do you remove that stain from your reputation?
Well, you can't. I mean, the media has really done their job on this one. We'll say it's not true. The accusations are not true. They have ruined his professional name.
Yes.
His career. Possibly his Senate run. Now, we're getting some emails, a few things. One, people are asking, why hasn't this come up in the previous four elections?
Well, I think the timing is suspicious.
Yeah. And then this new lady who comes out today, we got a few emails. Somebody pointed out that child locks were not installed in cars till after 1980. The woman says that she was locked in the car and couldn't get out. I don't know how that works. You know, you just open the door.
Yeah, there was standard equipment on my 71 Ford Pinto.
That's one thing somebody pointed out. Yeah. We also got an email from a Judy who pointed us to a YouTube channel called Bombard's Body Language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I've
seen that. And
says the body language of the Roy Moore accuser is all wrong. I haven't seen the video yet, but I like watching these body language videos because they are kind of telling. So where does this leave us, I guess? The guy's reputation is ruined. His career is ruined in politics.
Well, and maybe. Maybe. It's going to be up to the voters. But I think more telling, though, is the fact that the swamp creatures, such as Mitch McConnell, the swamp creatures, who say, we're not going to seat you. The hubris of the permanent state, deep state, shadow government, whatever, the hubris of the establishment Republicans. Where in the hell were you when Juanita Broderick was talking about her allegations? Where were you when Paula Jones and others were talking about their allegations against Bill Clinton? Now, they actually spoke about them contemporaneously, at least some, as well as later on. But yet in Hillary, what did she do? She facilitated the hiding of Bill Clinton's behavior and took the side of Bill Clinton as opposed to the women. And this is well documented. So, by the way, Portion's Nice Broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks, omahasteaks.com. Boy, I'll tell you, we had a great meal this weekend and, Omaha Steaks. We had, two of their filet mignons, and they're fantastic, along with the caramel apple tartlets, just fantastic. OmahaSteaks.com, and put HH in the search bar. It's OmahaSteaks.com, HH in the search bar. More on that later. But you know, all of this that we're seeing again is symptomatic of this moral crisis. And morality or immorality has been weaponized.
Yeah.
Politicized.
For people who like to blur the lines of morality to turn around and then use it as a benchmark to get other people thrown under the bus, it's pretty hypocritical.
If I can just jump in here and say this before the bottom of the hour break, I did my morning show this morning. I spoke about something, I believe that...
Were you able to upload it on Global Star? Your show?
Yes.
Okay, I just want not to interrupt you here, but we had an issue with our show today on Global Star. Todd had a cable line cut, and he had an internet outage for 4 hours. So our show was unable to be uploaded to the Global Star server, so it only went out.
I cut the lines.
Well, he said it was down for 4 hours at 2 o'clock when I talked to him. So
yeah, well, my show airs early from 9 to 10, but I did a show this morning, and I think it was. This is not to necessarily promote the show. Although I would urge everyone to listen to my morning show this morning, I believe that what we're seeing today, some information has come out over the past week that to me changes a lot of things. And perhaps what we're seeing with McConnell and Judge Roy Moore and the allegations against the conservative base, including Judge Roy Moore, I think fits into this. And what I've pretty much come to the realization of or uncovered is the fact that the war against Donald Trump, and I'd like to get into this after the bottom of the hour break, is Donald Trump was entrapped or set up. In fact, Hillary, it's my personal professional opinion that, based on research and investigation, that the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC placed political operatives inside of the Donald Trump campaign. And it was during that time, or it was from that, those political operatives, that the negative opposition research came about. And I this was not just a mere passive. This was an active attempt to take down Donald Trump before the primaries and before the general election. But I believe this was done. Now think about the ramifications of that, if my conclusions are accurate, that the Clinton campaign and the DNC planted people inside of the Donald Trump campaign. I'm talking about within the inner circle. I'm talking about Trump Tower people, not campaign workers, but Trump Tower people. And I'd like to get into that on the other side of the break, but I defer to you now.
So what do we take away from the Roy Moore situation? We can't know one way or the other what's true and what's not. We know that the first accuser, the mother of the first accuser, admitted to Breitbart that she was approached by the Washington Post reporter and really pushed into this. But either way, we don't know what happened 40 years ago, and we do kind of know why now. Why are we seeing this now? Because it does seem to be a political attack. We're not defending him. We're not throwing him under the bus. It is what it is, and we have to sit here and talk about this, because I want to get into, on the other side, what you were talking about Friday, what we're talking about earlier in the show about Sean Hannity and Media Matters and the left. We see how, again, no moral, ethical, or legal lines were broken, but all of a sudden he's in a scandal now and being threatened to lose sponsorships on his show. We're going to talk about that more and the implication that that has for the alternative media when we come back. Welcome back to this Monday edition of the Hagmann Report. Don't forget, go to HagmannReport.com. There you can check out all the latest news that we posted today, as well as the latest from Peter Chalka on Sean Hannity, Fox News, and a number of other things. We are going to continue to talk about Sean Hannity in the alternative media. Just want to throw this out there. Rand Paul, we saw last week after he was down for about a week after being attacked, that people or prosecutors were saying that they were looking at upping the charges against his attacker. Rand Paul was cutting his grass 10 days ago, 11 days ago. He was tackled from the back as he was cutting the grass, broke 6 ribs, has fluid in his lungs, has a cut on his face, and his neighbor, and this was an unprovoked attack, his neighbor was charged with 4th-degree assault and released on Saturday on $7,500 bond. The talk of the charges being upped was at the end of last week, and we have not seen that happen yet. But Senator Rand Paul is going to be taking months to recover, and this guy who attacked him is a self-proclaimed socialist and a huge Bernie Sanders supporter on social media and a huge Mueller fan. I just find it interesting that the charges are so lenient for attacking a United States senator, especially unprovoked. But what's interesting about this story is the media continuing to lie and to deceive, saying that this was not a political assault. This was an assault over a dispute over lawn care, which many of the neighbors in the gated community were interviewed, all saying that they've never had a problem with Rand Paul or his lawn. He cuts his own grass. He's one of the, I'm sure, only senators that cuts his own grass. And this attack was unprovoked, and he was injured pretty severely. 6 broken ribs.
Yeah, or 5 or 6, and a punctured lung. Now, it is a federal offense. Now, here's my question. Where is the U.S. attorney on this?
Right.
excuse me. It's a federal offense to assault a sitting congressman or senator. It's a federal offense. So where's Jeff? Well, where's the U.S. attorney on this case to file charges against the neighbor?
And think about Rand Paul. That's, he was in the shooting attack by that James Hodgkinson.
Right.
Who shot Steve Scalise and was killed on the baseball field earlier this spring. And now he's attacked again in what looks like a politically motivated attack. And we hear silence from the prosecutors, as you said. The media trying to make Rand Paul look like he deserved it for having not kept up with his lawn the way that this neighbor expected him to.
It has nothing to, it's never about the spoon. Remember what I say, it had nothing to do with the lawn.
Oh, absolutely. And the media, you know, the way they spin this. And I wanted to take this back into Sean Hannity, because we see we have obviously two sets of rules for TV broadcasters, depending on what they talk about. Sean Hannity, when he talked about Seth Rich a number of months ago, you saw this push to get rid of his advertisers to get him knocked off the air. That did not work. They got rid of Bill O'Reilly, but I think Bill O'Reilly dug his own grave to a great extent. And now...
Yeah, I don't think you can compare Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity at all.
Well, this was at the same time Bill got knocked off the air when they first tried to remove Hannity from the air. And now, 6 months later, nothing... All he did was interview somebody, and you have this push to get rid of him. But on the other side, you have, you know, was it Chris Cuomo who tweeted out a few months ago that you are intolerant if you won't allow your daughter, your 12-year-old daughter... in a bathroom with a transgendered male.
There you go. No, that's a party.
People calling for Trump's assassination, his impeachment, saying he's mentally unhinged. None of that ever, you know, is an issue. But heaven forbid you have somebody telling the truth who has a viewpoint or interview somebody you disagree with or are going after. Then that's grounds for, you know, getting you kicked off the air and getting your sponsors taken from you. Which brings us to this topic. What does this mean for the alternative media? Is the alternative media a target? Are they, Media Matters, the left, going to continue to try to undermine the credibility of all those who they can't silence?
Absolutely.
Is this just the beginning of another fight?
Well,
or is this a continuation? It doesn't matter. We're here.
Yeah.
And what should we expect in the alternative media? I think that's the question.
Folks, Peter Berychuk of HagmanReport.com, read his articles. Read, because it is so critical what he's bringing out and has brought out. And we could, look, didn't we not call this last week? Yes, I'll be the first one to say I called this last week. I'm not happy about this, but you can kind of see where this is going. This is to take down Sean Hannity. And one might say, well, he's part of the corporate media, being Fox News. Why do you care? And it's just like America. America is a speed bump on the road to globalism. So if you take out America, there's a smooth path to this progressive national single global governance. If you take out Sean Hannity, he's the stalwart at Fox News. And I think you're off.
Sorry. As Peter writes in his article, I just want to read this one last sentence that was really good. He says, the stakes in this emerging fight couldn't be higher. Sean Hannity and a handful of other high-profile conservative hosts represent the last thin line in a mainstream media that is left standing against almost universal fake news onslaught by the mainstream media aimed at taking down Trump. He's saying Sean Hannity is the last of a very thin line in the mainstream media, telling the truth and actually sticking up not only for the president, but his agenda and those who support the president. And
there it is.
I don't agree with a lot of Sean Hannity's reporting from 15 years ago, 20 years ago, but he's been doing an awesome job, especially from this whole election cycle in through today. And it's been right on the money. It's been relevant. It's been important. And most importantly, it's been the truth. And when we see that in the mainstream media, obviously these people are going to have a problem with it because they are so corrupt and they are still trying to cover up from a whole laundry list of crimes that they committed in the 2016 election alone. So this is where, you know, this fight comes from. And any voices that are against their agenda, against their narrative, are going to be silenced. Just taking it to another side of this argument, look at the NFL. you have this push for political correctness from these anthem protests, and now the one person who's been trying to save the NFL, Jerry Jones, is looking at other owners coming together against him to get rid of him, so they don't have to pretty much face the players and the battle between the players and the owners with this NFL protest that's ruining the NFL.
Hmm.
The NFL, obviously, it's coming under a lot of politicalization now, but we see this all over society, from people inside businesses to the social media, the entertainment world, NFL, and it is the new status quo, I guess. If you disagree with the left socialist slash communist mindset, you're going to be outed in society. If you're a Trump supporter, any of those categories, a Christian, you know, you're going to be a white, you're going to be marginalized, you're going to be discriminated against, you're going to be hated on, you're going to be assaulted, attacked, and silenced, and then everything is your fault. And that's what these people are running with. And anybody who doesn't agree with it, they are so happy to throw these people under the bus. And it's only going to get worse, especially since we see people, systems, and institutions buying into this mindset.
Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly correct in that one. I wanted to mention, I don't think we've mentioned this, or if we did, it really hasn't been mentioned in depth at all. We have a sitting U.S. senator on trial for corruption, and that's Menendez, New Jersey, okay? And he's a Democratic senator from New Jersey. He's on trial for bribery. He's on trial for fraud and conspiracy. He's accused of using his Senate seat, his Senate office, to proffer favors for big money campaign donor Dr. Salman Melgen, I believe his name is. I believe that's what it is. Well, the jury's deadlocked right now. And I believe it's going to result in a hung jury. I don't know that to be... I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe it was already?
The judge sent him back for deliberations, but they came out after 4 hours and announced that they were deadlocked. Now, the juror... See, you said it right when you started talking about this. You haven't heard any of this stuff in the mainstream media about this senator's corruption trial. One of the jurors was
thrown off. What about impeaching him?
Yeah. Even the many of the leadership inside the Senate was asked if he was convicted, would they throw him off? And they said no, because there's nothing in that says a convicted criminal cannot sit in his position of power, apparently.
Think if he was found guilty and he's in prison, would he still be able to govern?
I don't know. This was an argument that was going on
through the bars.
About 3 weeks ago, they were talking about that very scenario. And it was being said how the senators are not saying that they'd remove him, or there was a way for him to continue to serve even if he was found guilty. So what happened? A juror was kicked off of the jury last week.
I thought the juror had to go on vacation.
That was the whole deal. When they started the trial, she said that one of her concerns was that she had this big vacation planned and she didn't want to be inconvenienced by the trial.
Be careful about the words. I don't think she was kicked off. I think she was released because of her pre-planned vacation.
I read this last Friday. But long story short, she said last week that the jury was going to be deadlocked. Now, sure enough, today
But that's even before deliberations began, because when did deliberations begin?
This morning.
So how would she know that?
She was sitting on the jury, and I think she's talking about from the mood of the jury or what she knew about the case.
So what she perceived, as opposed to the discussion, because you're charged as a juror, you're charged not to discuss a case until the deliberations. Well, but the evidence here is clear, and this, in my view anyway, having watched this or followed this trial, and even some of the admissions of the defendant, the senator himself, when I say admissions, statements, perhaps a better word. But you're not hearing about this at all in the news, right? I mean, who's talking about this? No one's talking.
I heard
about
a little
this.
Clip on the radio about it on the way to the studio. Didn't see anything on the mainstream news over the weekend or today.
Well, and this is where we're at with this. Now, I just wanted to mention that because that's happening. And of course, you have someone not even elected to the U.S. Senate, Judge Roy Moore, who's under fire. And then you've got Sean Hannity, who is fighting for his professional life, based on spurious allegations of what, I don't even know. But I don't think there really needs to be any. And then, of course, you've got these, in my view, morons out there, and these false, and I can't say enough, there's nothing I could, the one individual that I'm thinking of, in my personal opinion, is shameless in her accusations of, and she does it in my opinion, does it to a lot of people. You know, she calls him a Sean Vanity, for example, on her little blog. She's accused me and others of plagiarism, and I don't even know this woman, for crying out loud. All right. So, you know, that's why it's so ridiculous. But these accusations, at least in that case, against Sean Hannity, and I believe all of them, and then the boycott, I believe is part of an organized, orchestrated effort to take down Sean Hannity, as Peter Chalka said, and as you stated, as Peter Chalka wrote, and you read from that article. So, well, one thing, Joe, if I can just say this about the... there's something I talked about in my show this morning. I'm not going to get into it. You can listen to the show this morning, but here's what I believe. I do believe that as pieces of the Russian collusion story fall into place, there's a picture that's developing, and it's disturbing, and it's a little bit, it's more than disturbing. I believe this to be the case. I believe that the Hillary Clinton campaign planted political operatives into the Trump campaign at some of the highest levels. And I believe when you look at the indictment of Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, and the plea of George Papadopoulos, look at that plea of George Papadopoulos. Look at it very closely, extremely close, and ask yourself, where did the Russian dossier come from? Read between the lines here, or listen between the lines. Okay, now, the Russian dossier, just if I may, just very quickly. Well, I'll just say it this way. I'm not going to go over this, because I think people have a good understanding of what's taking place, but you've got Trey Gowdy, who appeared on the inaugural edition of Laura Ingraham's program on October 30th, two weeks ago. And Devin Nunes appeared on Laura Ingraham's program a couple of weeks ago. Now, Devin Nunes is the chairman of the United States House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And he said that today, and ever since this dossier came out, he's been fighting to get information about who paid for this dossier. The FBI is not talking. Under Comey, or even at present, they're not talking. It's hard to believe that they don't know. They most assuredly do know, but are not saying. The dossier itself was a product of who? Of
Fusion GPS.
Well, Christopher Steele, right? Where did Christopher Steele used, what, five sources roughly, or a number of sources, to create this document, this dossier, 35-page dossier of lies, of accusations, unproven, unprovable accusations that, in my view, are lies. When you start to put the pieces together, what was George Papadopoulos doing here? What was he doing over here? Was he feeding information to Christopher Steele? Because here's how the money went. And you were talking about this. We were talking about this in studio before. In fact, John and Joe, and we were talking about this. And I think you spoke about this on your show today. Here's the question. Donna Brazile had said the DNC was broke. Right? Remember that? DNC broke, didn't have any money.
$24 million in the hole.
The Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee under Clinton, under Wasserman Schultz, and the interim chairman, Donna Brazile, reportedly paid Perkins Coie, the Obama law firm, that well-known law firm, D.C. law firm, $10 million dollars, in part for opposition research. Now think about this. Follow the bouncing ball. Follow the money. So you've got the DNC paying Perkins Coie, the law firm, $10 million. Glenn Simpson, or I'm sorry, Mark Elias, the attorney partner with Perkins Coie, sat next to Glenn Simpson, the founder of Fusion GPS, who received just over a million dollars from Perkins Coie, and Mark Elias denied, by the way, denied. Well, I'm not going to go there at the moment, but so it goes like this. DNC, Hillary Clinton, $10 million given to Perkins Coie and Mark Elias. Mark Elias then hires Fusion GPS for just over $1 million for opposition research. Fusion GPS is founded by Glenn Simpson. Glenn Simpson then gives $168,000 to Christopher Steele, the former British intelligence agent, again, for opposition research. Hence, this dossier, 35-page dossier, is created. And that's created, there's five different sources, right? Roughly. Well, at least if you read the Papadopoulos plea agreement and the indictment, you can start to put the pieces together about opposition research. And again, Papadopoulos. If I can just kind of give you a timeline of this dossier, think about this. This dossier was created, the first entry was done in June of 2016. It was June 20th of 2016. It was August 27th of 2016 when Senator Harry Reid, sent a letter to Comey saying, A, Donald Trump is an unwitting agent of Russia, of the Kremlin. Now, this is from Harry Reid to Comey, August 27th, 2016. And he referenced Michael Morrell, the former acting CIA director, in this as well. So you've got these intelligence agencies, U.S. intelligence agencies, as well as political operatives, making accusations against a political candidate. It was September 23rd of 2016 when U.S. intelligence agents began an investigation. And this kind of involved Carter Page, a Trump advisor. Page had extensive business ties to Russia, and in fact, he was the former investment banker for Merrill Lynch in Moscow. And he had his own consulting firm, Global Energy Capital, in New York City, just as an FYI. But this is when, it was September 23rd, 2016, when the U.S. intelligence agencies began their investigation based on information contained in this dossier. And this was an evolving dossier. The information was evolving constantly. It was October of 2016 when the FBI obtained a FISA warrant based on the contents of the dossier. And in fact, the dossier, just to give you an example of how ridiculous this is, referenced Alpha Bank and Trump Tower. Well, wait a second. If you look at the dossier, which is online, and it was published by BuzzFeed, they misspelled Alpha Bank. They spelled it ALPHA as opposed to ALFA, which is the name of the bank. And even despite that, such academic mistakes, you have a situation where it doesn't matter anyway. The issue there was a server connected in Trump Tower, which is, really makes no difference whatsoever. But an FBI FISA warrant, after two attempted warrants in October, one was given. So again, think about this. Based on the information contained from where? Ultimately from Hillary Clinton and the DNC. So this is the weaponization of our intelligence. And then on October 30th of 2016, just weeks later, Harry Reid demands the FBI look into the explosive information. He sends this letter to Comey. Now, October 31st of 2016, David Corn writes the article for Mother Jones. I'm not going to get into that. November 18th of 2016, McCain was informed of the existence. Now, this is when McCain comes in. Remember, he was attending a security summit in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And McCain sends a messenger on a transatlantic flight to pick up the dossier. And to tell you how ridiculous this is, think about this. Here's what he tells the messenger. Ready? This is... Oh, my goodness. He tells him this. Hey, you go to the airport, you look for a man holding a copy of the Financial Times. He's going to have documents for you. Bring them back to me. It's McCain. Okay? That's the kind of stuff we're dealing with now. December 9th, 2016, McCain gives the dossier directly to James Comey. December 13th, now this is the last date of the content, the evolving content of the dossier, the memos, I should say the memos from the British source in the comprised the dossier. Then, of course, we had the election on January 8th. And then it was January 10th when Obama and Trump both were given a two-page summary of the documents, dossier's contents. And of course, Donald Trump says that's just a bunch of crud. Well, that same day, BuzzFeed published that document, and it's been history ever since. Okay. It's been a party ever since. That kind of gives you a rundown. But the weaponization aspect, during this time as well, concurrent with this, where Donald Trump, and I'm just going to end with this, Joe, because I don't want to take up the entire time. It was during the, I'm not sure if I have my notes here, it was during the period when, it was June 9th of 2016, in the heart of the campaign, when a contingent of, this Russian contingent that included a female Russian lawyer and ultimately eight people had a meeting at Trump Tower. This is June 9th of 2016. Remember I mentioned about Fusion GPS and Glenn Simpson? Remember I mentioned about Perkins Coie and Hillary and the DNC and how no one knew anything about anything? The testimony 10 hours by Simpson behind closed doors. And he was, it's my understanding, he was interviewed again today, but this goes back a while. Didn't know anything about anything. Well, isn't it interesting where it now has come out, and this was underreported. This was reported only, I think, by Reuters and a few people in the alternative media, but no one's paying attention to this. It has now come out where Glenn Simpson from Fusion GPS met with members of that Russian contingent both before and after the meeting at Trump Tower. So what does that tell us? That tells us of collusion, of not just mere collusion, but of sabotage.
Yeah, collusion is not the right word.
Right, sabotage. And even espionage, especially when you have somebody like Tim Kaine referencing this meeting, is saying, Donald Trump, this activity is bordering on treasonous. Really? And you've got this taking place. And, of course, Trey Gowdy and Devin Nunes saying, we can't get any information from the FBI or anyone else.
Did you hear the latest bombshell today? Donald Trump Jr. secretly corresponded with WikiLeaks before the election. This according to The Hill and a number of other websites out there. They're showing some communications between Donald Trump Jr. and WikiLeaks, where WikiLeaks asked Donald Trump Jr. to provide one of his father's tax returns to WikiLeaks so they could release it instead of having the New York Times come out and release possibly a doctored or a story with a biased report in it. But this is the talk of the town apparently today. We are up against the break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. David Berman. He's a pastor, a doctor, an author, and radio show host, and much more. Also, on Hagmann Report, check out this story. It's what you were talking about a little bit from Greg Jarrett on Fox News. Did Comey obstruct justice by protecting Hillary Clinton from prosecution? It's on Hagmann Report. It's also on Fox News. It is well worth a read. It's from 5 days ago. We'll be right back after this.